Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe, and I've got Ziggy Rodriguez here.
That's me.
But I don't have Venerable Tom Dorrien.
We don't. No.
Well, you know, this is the fifth Sunday of Easter, and of course we have the gospel reading from John chapter 14, where we find we hear the words that God's house has many rooms. I think that Tom is doing a little research whether or not, like, he is assuming one of those rooms in heaven is a hair salon.
I would say so, yes.
Yeah, and
that
it's
would be a
nice
priority for Tom.
He does, yes.
Not, yes.
Well, he deserves a place for his hair.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful hair, beautiful hair. No, we'll have him back soon, I promise you. But I do, this fifth Sunday of Easter, the readings that we have, I love these, and it always harkens back. It has a special place in my heart.
Yes.
As a deacon, it's really interesting. When the year that I was ordained in 2008, it turns out on the day that I was ordained, which was a Saturday morning, that weekend, that evening, which would have been the Sunday liturgy, the anticipatory mass, would have been my first mass as a deacon. That evening, I looked ahead of time, like 3-4 months ahead, go like, what are the readings anyway? Mm-hmm. And I went and looked, and it was this readings from Acts chapter 6, mm-hmm. which is the calling of the seven deacons.
Yes.
And what a wonderful I thought that was a little divinely, inspired.
Well, before the show, when in the days leading up to the show, and Deacon Jeff and I talked about this being an episode where we would just sort of unpack the Sunday readings, as we sometimes do, I was like, Deacon Jeff, first reading, I think... We could do the whole show on the first reading,
Yeah.
You seem to be pretty passionate about being a deacon. Am I overstepping and saying that?
It's okay. It's all right. No, I
mean,
love
your
it.
Grandkids call you Grand Deacon, if that's a sign.
I only did it for my wife. Hi, Bess. How are you? No, I love being a deacon, and I love talking about being a deacon, and I just think everything kind of just fell into place. The calling where I felt called, and I had this desire to be a deacon, just the process that I went through, my relationship with Jesus, where it was. Where it went, where it went out the door, where it came back in the door, and it was a very, very Catholic door. Yeah. And then I found myself being drawn to the diaconate because I had, I was in a Cursillo reunion group that had a deacon in it who was going through formation.
Yeah.
He wasn't a deacon yet. He was going through formation. And I'm like, what is this deacon thing that you're doing?
Right.
And he explained it to me. And it's like, I'm like, wow. Okay, so that's really cool. I just think that's a beautiful ministry. He goes, well, maybe you should look into it. And I said, well, I'll look into it. I'm not 100% sure. But it took. I mean, when I started investigating and I got accepted into the program many years before 2008, but when I did all that, as I got closer to ordination, and of course, they tell you all along the way, there's no guarantees of ordination, right?
Right.
You don't have a right to ordination. Even if you go through 5 years of formation, you might get booted from the program. Now,
he came close many times.
Yeah, I tested the waters. I dipped my toe in to see just what I could get away with. No, I didn't do all that stuff. And it kept being reaffirmed for me. And I think the Holy Spirit he got his way, I think, in that situation.
Well, I think, and also it'd be important for us just to take it, now that we're on the topic of deacons, to acknowledge the fact that of the vocations that are, commonly discussed in the church, I think the diaconate vocation doesn't get discussed nearly as much. I mean, we have obviously a heavy emphasis on priesthood, We have a heavy emphasis on religious life, both for men and women, which for the men sometimes also includes priesthood. And then there's a lot of discussion of the natural vocation to marriage, but of course, the universal vocation to holiness.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things that's really important to mention with regard to the diaconate is similar to the priesthood and to religious life. It's a supernatural call. It's a supernatural vocation. It's not just some, you know, and I say this, there were certain, this is not, I'm not making a generalized statement about Protestant denominations, but a lot of times there were some Protestant churches, they try to make sense of some of the titles that are in the Bible, and yeah, it's almost more like a rite of passage, or, oh, you've made it to the club because now you're a deacon, or now you're an elder, or now you're a bishop,
right,
and it has less to do with a supernatural call, and it has more to kind of just do to, well, you've been accepted by the congregation as, and it, I mean, it might have nothing to do with your relationship.
Well, like if
with
you,
God.
I've got a couple of you know, in Memphis, we have there's a lot of Baptists here.
Yes, yes.
And Baptists are well known for having deacons.
Yeah.
In their churches, and they tend to be related to like work with the poor, charity, and things mm-hmm, like that. Mm-hmm. And so they do a lot of stuff around the church. Good men, right?
Yeah.
And they'll say, oh, I'm a deacon. And I'm like, well, that's nice. Now, I'm not going to say, but not the same kind.
Yeah, right.
I would
right,
never
right.
do that.
Yeah,
but at
yeah.
the end of the day, there's a, you're right to point out there's a very different calling. And there's also a very different, like to be a member in the hierarchy of orders, right, of holy orders. That's different than a man that is basically voted in by his peers.
Yes.
And goes through some training classes.
Right.
To sort of like to run the soup kitchen or to run the charity or to run this particular office or whatever. And I don't want to trivialize what they're doing. I think it's beautiful, but there's not that full understanding until, like, when you understand what the Catholics are doing, it's like, well, that's a whole different. It's a whole different deal.
Right. And so we may have separated brothers and sisters who have come to visit a Catholic church or might have even closed the gap of that separation, come in, become Catholic, but didn't really get formed in OCIA about the diaconate vocation. And they might have come from a church where they had deacons, and then they just see, oh, this church has a deacon too, and not really know what that means, and they'd be like, they could be confused. Be like,
you called it a title before, and
yes.
I don't want to trivialize, but that's what ends up happening. It's,
right,
it's a title.
Yes,
you know, I'm senior pastor, I'm junior pastor, I'm whatever associate junior pastor,
you're right.
Right, and or deacon, and there's like lots of different like roles, and you also mentioned elders. Some churches have elders because it's in the Bible.
Yeah, elder equals presbyter equals priest within like the linguistics of
that's
like
right.
The Koine Greek,
the presbyteroi,
yeah,
is the elders.
Yes,
you know, and so that's it's different, and so when someone says like, well, hey, we need to get some deacons or we need to have a bishop. Now, I don't know many Baptist bishops, so I haven't met those guys yet.
Well, I think in the African American churches, that's very common. Actually.
Yeah, you're right. And so, but are those Baptist churches? I guess there's
some. You know, there's so many denominations that are out there.
I guess you're right. And again, I don't want to pick on the other denominations. I just want to say that I really felt called to be a deacon.
Yeah,
and it was really neat that like about 3 or 4 months before I was going to be ordained or the plans were being made, we'd basically gone through all the formation, and now we basically had met with the bishop and he's accepted and we're putting a date on the calendar. And then I look and see what the readings are, and it's Acts chapter 6.
Wow.
You know, and I thought like, wow. Now, I don't want to ever be presumptuous, but a lot of people don't realize that a deacon is an ordained a member of the clergy, right?
Yes.
And so he's a member of the clergy, so he can preach. Now, he doesn't have the same privileges of preaching that a priest does,
yeah,
because I don't preside at Mass.
Yeah.
I assist the priest at the Mass. And so it's a whole different thing, but it does, you know, in this role as deacon in the Catholic Church, it says he preaches occasionally,
right?
And so I just thought, well, it's like my first Mass, I wonder if Father Martel would let me preach. And so I was very gracious and very respectful and just said, what do you think the chances are that on that day I can preach? And he said, oh, no, that's fine. That'd be great. But there was another guy in the same cohort as I was in, Deacon Dan Brown, God rest his soul. And so he said, if you and Deacon Dan both take all the masses, in other words, so you preach all the masses, give the priest a break or whatever. And I said, well, let me check with him. And he said, yeah, okay, we can do that. That sounds great. And so it was. I still remember the homily, and I still remember what I said. And I tried not to make it too personal, but how can it not be personal as your first mass?
Well, and you receive as part of your reception of becoming a deacon, and they do this both for the transitional deacons who are on their way to becoming priests, and for those like yourself who are in the permanent diaconate. They present to you the gospel because it's at the heart of the vocation.
That's right. That's part of the ordination. At the actual ordination, there's a presentation of the gospel.
Please correct me if I say it wrong, but I think it's something to the effect of like receive the gospel. Practice which no, you say it.
I don't know all the words. I have to. You caught me now. It's like yeah. Teach what you know.
Believe what you teach.
Receive the gospels, and then it's believe, teach, and basically practice.
Yes,
is how it's used. The wording we'll have to look up.
We'll
in
have
that,
to look
out
that
of future.
Up, or we invite our listeners to do some.
It's been 18 years, but it's so beautiful. It's such an and that's why if there's a deacon present, he is the one that proclaims the gospel at the mass.
Right,
it's his responsibility. And I loved that, and I still remember this to this day. I'll just go through this this reading real quick. It's from Acts chapter 6, verses 1-7. As the number of disciples continued to grow, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So the 12 called together the community of the disciples and said, "It is not right for us to neglect the word of God to serve at table, brothers. Select among you 7 reputable men filled with the Spirit and wisdom whom we shall appoint to this task, whereas we shall devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The proposal was acceptable to the whole community, so they chose Stephen, a man filled with faith and the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. The word of God continued to spread, and the number of the disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly. Even a large group of priests were becoming obedient to the faith. I love all of that. Now, if I want to get a little snarky, you know, it took a couple of deacons getting ordained, you know, for a large group of priests to become obedient to the faith. So we had a profound effect early on in the church.
Right.
We whipped some of those priests into shape. I'm just totally teasing about that. But the reality is there was a great effect. There was a great need. And so you had mentioned before about how a lot of times there's like a neglect for like when we're praying for vacations.
I'm
going to say it now. But when you go to the next like daily mass or you listen to the Sunday liturgies, when they do the universal prayer, you're going to hear this a lot. Pray for an increase of vocations to the priesthood and the religious life.
Yeah,
right. You're going to hear that over and over again.
Sometimes say in marriages as well.
Maybe they will, but mostly it's priesthood and so there's come this real practical reason for praying, and we should pray for practical things. And right now, we are struggling with priests.
Yes.
The number of priests. We are struggling with the number of religious. And we need more priests and more religious. So it becomes this practical thing. I think one of the negative things that comes out of that, other than just forgetting about marriage and forgetting about deacons, which, by the way, deacons can have all 7 sacraments.
Right. That's so cool.
But all that aside, so then, like, sometimes, unfortunately, even amongst deacons, they'll start to see themselves really as a functionary, like not necessarily a title, but someone who has jobs to do,
right,
and they don't see the vocational call, as you'd mentioned before, the supernatural graces that are part of all this and the supernatural calling, you know, and they'll end up saying like, well, we don't have enough priests, so if we can get more deacons, they can do a lot of the priest things,
right?
So we can keep these parishes going. And some of that is justifiable, But it's not the reason why we have deacons.
Right.
Right. The fullness of orders is why we have deacons. And the thing is, we get that, I think, because there was a practical aspect of the apostles ordaining deacons.
Yes.
Because the Hellenists were getting up, the Greek people were getting upset because their widows were being neglected because all the Hebrews were taking care of the business, right?
Yeah.
All the people were Jews. They were everybody's. So we had all these Jews that were being taken care of, the Jewish widows and stuff like that, all being in the daily distribution. So what was going out to the widows and the orphans and probably Eucharist, all that stuff was. But the widows that were from the Hellenists, the Greeks,
right,
who were Christians, were getting neglected. They were lower on the totem pole. So then what do the apostles do? Like, pick seven good men from amongst you.
Yes.
Right? Notice, I'm just going to say it, and, you know, they didn't say seven women or seven men and women. Just be aware that this is why this is all part of holy orders. It comes from the ancient Catholic Church 2,000 years ago. This is what happened. Pick seven good men, and those seven good men would represent. That's why those are all Greek sounding names, you
yes.
know. And they were basically going to help take care of. And that was the beginning, really, of that third order, that calling. And so there's something beautiful about that. And even today, there is still a touch of that in what we do.
Yes.
Right, as deacons, permanent deacons.
The root word of deacon, the Greek word is servant, right? Isn't that
diakonia?
Diakonia.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So diakonia means to minister or to serve.
Yes.
In fact, there's if you look at the Greek version of the New Testament, where Jesus is in the desert and the angels ministered to him, mm-hmm. the word diakonia is used.
Oh, wow.
And so, if you look in history, a lot of paintings of early of angels, they're wearing a dalmatic.
Oh, wow.
So, like, you see angels in a dalmatic because they're connected to the deacon because they ministered to Jesus. And in the same way that the deacons minister to the church and assist. And that's why the deacon wears a dalmatic. It's got the sleeves because they're serving at table.
And I did pull up the words that you hear at the
oh, yeah, please. Good.
Which is, receive the gospel of Christ, whose herald you have become. Believe what you read, teach what you believe, and practice what you teach.
I'll have to commit that to memory because I don't say it to myself, but
right.
I live it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we are taught to live that, and we do that, and we come and we kneel before the bishop, and
yes.
he's holding the book of the Gospels in front of him.
Yes.
And he holds it out to us, and we put our hands on it.
Yes.
And so there's just something beautiful about that imagery, and we literally, and if you look at all the times that the angels were the messengers.
Yes.
Right? Well, the angels, the deacon, again, is proclaiming the gospel, the message of Jesus. And so there's just like all these really cool connections. And it all stems from Acts chapter 6, and how beautiful that was, and where you start to see how the church starts to grow.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, because this wasn't at the beginning. And It'd been nice if they described things in a way that, like, well, this Bible is going to be really just like the rules to the a board game.
Right.
We're going to spell it all out. This is what it is. It's an instruction manual.
Right.
But that's not what the Bible is. Can we find instruction? Yes, we can. Can we find the Word of God? Yes, we can. Can we find inspiration? Yes, we can. All those things. But essentially, these are letters, remembrances, Acts of the Apostles is like, write this down. People need to know this. This is like a testament to the beginning of the church.
Right.
And so what we have today, 2,000 years later, is really an oak tree, you know, versus early on an acorn.
Yes.
They may look different to some people. They're like, that's not in the Bible. Yeah, it is. You can actually trace back everything that's in the Catholic Church today, including the permanent diaconate, all the way back to Acts chapter 6.
And by the way, a couple of other things that I think people might find interesting about deacon, in addition to, we haven't mentioned, you can perform baptisms and marriages, and so you're also a sacramental minister directly and and witnessing marriages and actually performing the baptisms in addition to preaching. But you a deacon actually has prerogative to proclaim the gospel at Mass. And so if Deacon Jeff were attending, were at a Mass with the Holy Father, and it was just the Holy Father and Deacon Jeff, it would actually be improper for the Holy Father to read the gospel.
But I'm not going to call him on it.
But it's just
if he starts going to the ambo, it's like, let him go.
Right, of course, of course. But liturgical propriety, he would expect Deacon Jeff to be the one to get up and actually read the gospel. And so you might be used to hearing the deacon proclaim the gospel, but know that that is everywhere, including at the highest levels of the church. And so that's something, and that's part.
And also the general instruction of the Roman Missal tells us that it's the deacon that is supposed to do the what we most people call the general intercessions, but the universal prayer.
Yes.
It's supposed to be the deacon himself that does that. Now, in a lot of parishes, they let the little children do it, or they let the whatever, so the special whatever, and people, family members at weddings. It ends up kind of going down that path. But when a deacon is present, he's supposed to do that. Why? Because he's the one who's the he's the bridge between the people.
Yes.
He's clergy, but he's at the bottom of the hierarchy.
Right.
Right, and he just stepped out of the people.
Right.
Right? So out of the laity into clergy. And so the priest says, and it's, they said it right there, it's like the apostles are saying, whereas we shall devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So it's like they're offering the Mass. The priest is offering the Mass. And he turns to the deacon and says, you know these people. You came out of these people. Right? You've got a mortgage. You've got a dog. You've got a family. You've got all, you've got all this stuff to, and you know these people. For what do I offer this Mass today?
Yes.
What prayers come from the people?
Right.
And then the deacon says, let's pray for this. Let's pray for this. Let's pray for this. And then the priest says, okay, this Mass is offered for those intentions. And it's like, it's amazing. So it's like, and it's also why the deacon is the one that dismisses.
Yes.
Like if it weren't for the deacon, you'd still be at Mass right now. You'd be sitting there in Mass waiting for Ite Missa Est.
Oh, and that's where the word Mass sent. Comes from.
Missa, right, yes. Comes from the deacon. He named Mass.
Yes.
Isn't that nice of him? No, so there's a lot. And the deacon brings the Alleluia to the bishop at the Easter Vigil when it's the Easter Vigil for the bishop.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's also an ordinary minister of the Eucharist. You know, there's sometimes there are people who are have expressed concern over ministers of the Eucharist who should be doing it except in extraordinary circumstances. Well, it's not, a lot of people assume it's only the priest because his hands were consecrated, but it's actually both the priest and the deacon as clergy are ordinary ministers of the Eucharist.
That's right. That's right. He's a duly instituted acolyte to begin with. He starts there, and that acolyte is there to help and assist, and they can handle the vessels that are used at Mass. They can purify them, etc. When they're a deacon, when they're ordained, they become an ordinary minister. A lot of people don't pick up on those words.
Right.
So, like, when a lay person trains and is assisting at a Mass to hand out Holy Communion,
right?
They're an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion.
Yes.
That's the proper, EMHC, it's the proper title. A lot of people are like, I'm a Eucharistic minister. It's like, actually, you aren't. Now, again, I'm not going to go and start picking on people and point. So, like, you know, you're not allowed to say that. You know, heresy. I'm not doing that.
Right.
But I am saying that the church has the recognition that the ordinary ministers of Holy Communion, so the Eucharistic ministers, are the deacon, the priest, and the bishop.
Yes.
That's who it is. Those three are all ordinary ministers. And then anyone else is an extraordinary, like, not like you're extraordinary because you're volunteering.
Right.
You're outside of ordinary. You're not the typical. You know, you're an exception to the situation. And parishes sometimes need that, and that's what it talks about. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of things that deacons do. And then there's also, you'd mentioned, like, the deacon of the word in terms of proclaiming the gospel, but at service of the altar and liturgies, like baptism and weddings and witnessing weddings and things like that. But also charity. We are tied to charity, and there's a lot of deacons that are associated with charitable works, whether it's running soup kitchens and clothing shelters or things like that, or whether it's instructing the ignorant. That's where I don't want to call our listeners ignorant, but I will say that, like, I've always had this charism for teaching and talking about the faith, sharing the faith. So there's ministry of the word there, but there's also that charity of just helping people to know Jesus and to come to love Jesus like I love Jesus. And so I think that that charity is also vitally an important thing.
There's also faculties to blessing as well. You know, like parents, of course, can have ordinary faculties to bless their children, but a layperson can't just go out and just start, you know, conferring blessings to people or to sacramentals, but a deacon can. I mean, unless, in terms of sacramentals, unless, like, the sacramental specifically says it has to be a priest or it has to be a monk.
That's exactly right.
Place.
And a deacon does need to know that he's the bottom on the rung of hierarchy.
Yes.
And so there are things that the deacon shouldn't do. And we have to study those things and read those things, and that's, we read the Book of Blessings, we look at the General Instruction of the Roman Missal, we find out all these wonderful things, and all this stuff, all of it springs out of Acts chapter 6.
Yes.
Right? It started it all for me, but 2,000 years before me, it started, you know, with those deacons serving, assisting the apostles, you know, in serving the Hellenists, you know, and making the church more universal than it's ever been before. And where it ends is so beautiful, where it says, the word of God continued to spread, and the number of the disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly. All right, guys, y'all need to hear this, okay? There are reputable men filled with the Spirit and wisdom that are out there listening. Maybe you're being called to be a deacon. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at The Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.